Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Academy Award-nominated writer-director Mike Mills is back with another film to make you contemplate human connection. His new film, Come On, Come On, stars Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny, a semi-eager and also semi-reluctant new caregiver of his precocious nephew, Jesse. The two are thrust together without too much prior bonding time when Jesse's mother, Vib, played by Gabby Hoffman, has to go care for Jesse's father, who is struggling with mental illness. The film follows Johnny as he attempts to be a good caregiver while still navigating his job as a traveling radio journalist on assignment interviewing children across the country. And here on All of It and WNYC, we love seeing radio journalists in a leading role. Not that we're biased or anything, but our very own Radiolab colleague Molly Webster stars in the film, plus former executive producer of WNYC's Radio Rickies, Kari Pitkin, also worked on the project. Like Mills' previous films, Beginners and 20th Century Women, the film brings familiar tenderness to a relatable story, this time about parenting and the relationship between adults and children. Let's take a listen to a bit of one of Johnny and Jesse's first conversations, where Jesse pretends to be an orphan, a quote-unquote game he plays with his mom that Johnny's not that comfortable with.
So should I call you, like, Papa or Dad or just Johnny?
You can call me whatever feels comfortable to you.
I don't know. It's just I'm not used to being able to choose.
Maybe we can just take this process slowly and see how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just really sorry that your children died.
You know, I don't think I can do that part.
Yeah, I told you that's how me and Mom do it.
If it makes sense for your mom to do that, that's cool, but it doesn't make sense for me, and that's what I was explaining to you.
Why doesn't it make sense for you?
Because it's ridiculous.
Is it?
It's sad. The question is, why do you want to do it?
You are just terrible at this.
Oh, man, I'm trying. Let me ask you a question. Why does everything have to be like this kind of weird, eccentric thing that you do?
I
know, but why not just do something normal? Like everything in your real life.
What's normal?
Okay, fine. Good point.
That's from the film Come On, Come On. Joining us now to talk a bit about his new work, which is out in theaters today, is writer-director Mike Mills. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. So I understand that this came from some ideas you had about your own relationship with your own child. Why were parenting and parent-child relationships on your mind?
Well, yeah, being a parent and having my whole life sort of deepened and challenged and made like so much more meaningful and so much more difficult all by my kid. And I say difficult with total like love and appreciation because I love all the difficulties. Yeah, there's been nothing kind of more challenging, simultaneously more intimate, more like never been needed and entrusted more than by my kid. And then also never understood my relationship to the larger society and I don't know, like capitalism and just all the big things more than when you have a kid.
I think
and that
all,
seemed like a great space to start a film from.
I think all parents nodded when you said that. No, I love my kids, but we've all been there.
I truly do. There's nothing more meaningful to me in my life than being a dad. And it's like completely changed my life. And I have no reluctance or no ambivalence about that. And I'll happily argue about combing your hair any day of the week.
When you began this project, the film's in black and white. Was it in black and white in your head?
Yeah, the kind of the first images, you know, sometimes you're inspired by like a character or a situation. Sometimes it is just an image. And an image that kept coming to my head was like that small figure, the child figure and the adult figure just kind of like walking through spaces and kind of like walking through cities and walking through like America, essentially. And that image was always in black and white. And I sort of asked myself, like, why am I seeing it like that? And I think it's because that image is like a fable, like a, you know, that's an archetypal sort of Jungian image to me. Mm-hmm. And black and white kind of helps pull you out of like any contract, the verisimilitude, and throws you into like a much more art space or like a story space that to me supported like the fable quality of the film.
It has a fable quality, although you're dealing with something that's so real. So many real issues, mental illness, the struggle with when the child becomes the caregiver of the parent, when you try to figure out how to keep a little human alive. You know, I'm curious about that push and pull between very, very real issues and that, you know, magical, beautiful quality of black and white.
Well, exactly. So you're touching on something that was like, I thought could be really exciting. I think films are actually really big pieces to me. And they need a lot of difference. And I really love when you have like opposing forces within a film. Mm. I think that it gives it electricity and kind of strengthens it. So I was very consciously throwing up against each other this like fable quality. And sometimes the imagery is very iconic. And like we play Claire de Lune, you know, in the movie. And then it's also very documentary. There's literally a documentary element to the film. When we're out in New York City streets, New Orleans streets, Detroit streets, there's no art direction, there's no changing, there's no hair and makeup on this film. Like everything is trying to be as real as possible, but with this countercurrent of like fable and myth.
My guest is Mike Mills, writer and director of the new film, Come On, Come On. All right, so we have this uncle and nephew duo, Johnny and Jesse. If you were in the film and you had to introduce Johnny to somebody at a party, how would you introduce and explain who Johnny is?
That's a good question. Well, I would never describe him as anything like, I don't know, stunted or failed or stalled out. He is middle-aged. He's not in a long-term relationship right now. He's not married, but I would like to tell you, party goer, that's like no failure of any kind, right? Like we all of our lives, he's very capable. He has an amazing job as a radio journalist. He does great work. He's a loving person. He's been to therapy. He's an alert man person whose life isn't exactly how he wants it to be, as most of ours aren't. And he's chugging along. Joaquin and I both didn't want to have him sort of like saddled with any big issues. I'm not sure if that's answering your question.
Sure.
He is a radio journalist, which I love. He loves Studs Terkel. He loves Scott Currier. He's in that vein of human.
How about this little fellow, Jesse?
Describe him?
Yes.
Well, he's 9 in the film. He's a very smart person, very aware, and has like a real powerful sense of self and isn't afraid to sort of come back at you, adult person, if Jesse doesn't feel like what's going on is right or correct or true. Very creative person, I would say, and cute as hell.
I did laugh out that loud when I watched it, when he said, "You're not good at this." It's a very funny moment.
Yeah, you're terrible at this.
You're terrible at this. Says.
Yeah, you're just terrible at this, yeah.
I'm curious about the actor Woody Norman who plays Jesse, the child. Is he a professional actor, or is he just a wonderful novice you've come upon?
Oh, he's a very professional actor.
Okay.
And he's British. He's doing an American accent for the whole film. He was 10 to 11 when we shot the film. And I learned a great lesson from Elle Fanning, the actress who worked with me in my previous film, 20th Century Woman, who does a lot of work as a child actor. She's like, "I always didn't like child actor because it makes you sound like what you're doing, your work you're doing is not the same as what the adults are doing." Or somehow, if you do really well, you're like a savant or something. And she said, "You know, I thought I was just doing the same work that everyone else." I think that's really true of Woody. Woody's doing an accent. Woody's going toe-to-toe with Joaquin Phoenix and just scene after scene. Woody can cry on any line he wants to in any scene. Like Woody is an actor through and through. Like he's got the talent and he works all the time as an actor.
Well, let's listen to a clip of Johnny and Jesse, Joaquin and Woody, when Johnny first takes the little boy to New York City and is letting him play with his sound equipment. This is from Come On, Come On.
What's so wrong?
You like it here?
What?
Do you like it here in New York?
Yeah.
then what do you like better, recording here or on the beach?
Here. Because I like the skaters.
You like the skaters? Yeah. Yeah, you know what I love about recording? What I love about recording? You can hear me?
Yep.
Oh, whatever. I'm
so, No.
I was just. It's cool because you get to keep these sounds, right? You keep it forever. You make like this mundane thing, like be immortal, and that's cool and fun.
Mike, how did you work to build chemistry between Joaquin and Woody, or was it just there?
A lot of it was just there, and a lot of it was like just two. I'm going to call them grown-up, sophisticated actors, seeing they had it good, right, with their partner. And just, it was like, I don't know, like just any great team, like they knew they had it good and they kind of helped each other, supported each other, but they didn't take much to have those guys just bouncing off each other very quickly and relating quite quickly. And it was an interesting thing, which I promote. They have their own relationship, which is outside of me. So we're like, they're in town right now doing press, and they'll just go off in a corner and just chit chat, make each other laugh. I have no idea what they're talking about. I'm not allowed in on that relationship. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, it's so wonderful when actors kind of take over a part of the process from you. And as long as you're there with the camera, taking advantage of it or finding opportunities in it, it's a great thing. So they just kind of hit it off from the beginning, and they're both really funny. Maybe that's what I should say. And they love to razz each other, and they're both just like really sharp and quick.
We're talking about the film Come On, Come On. It's Mike Mills' new film, which is in theaters today. We'll continue this conversation after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest this hour is writer-director Mike Mills. We're talking about his brand new film, Come On, Come On. So, Mike, there's just so many interesting ways you get at the idea of the individual and then the individual as caregiver. Johnny and his sister Viv, they have different ways and thoughts about caregiving of the child, Jesse, also of their mother who has dementia. We see in flashbacks that they have very different thoughts about how to handle it, and it's been a source of tension for them. When you were writing the script, what did you want to explore about caregiving and the individual?
I didn't think about it that broadly. I guess I'm really coming at it from my own experiences and just kind of being in the trenches in different ways, you know? And I definitely did think of, so to me, yes, Johnny is an uncle, but to me, he's also playing the role of a father, right? And I'm a father. And I was using this uncle to talk about fatherhood, really, because as an uncle and as someone who didn't have a kid, he just has to learn every day how to help take care of this kid because he's alone with him. And so it was a way to condense the experience of trying to figure out parenting and to just kind of make it better for a film, you know, because like every scene, he's got to learn how to do it. But in actuality, that's how I feel. You know, and as a biological father, that's your child is constantly changing the rules by which they operate without telling you that they've changed the rules. So you're constantly, at least that's my experience, constantly the novice. And if I'm going to talk about that experience, this man trying to understand how to be with a kid, I have to talk about moms. I have to talk about all the moms I know who've taught me so much about how to be a man with a kid or just how to be a parent, like just take gender out of it for a second, just how to relate and how to different techniques like repair that's in the movie, like doing repair, learning how to like robustly apologize. That's something I learned from different moms, you know? So I don't know if that's exactly asking a question, but like to me, caretaking is a relational situation, which I've learned through other parents, but especially moms. And in the film, these two boys or this man and boy are often figuring out how to relate to each other by triangulating off Gabby Hoffman's character.
Let's listen to a clip from Come On, Come On of Johnny and Viv, his sister played by Gabby Hoffman, having a phone conversation about Johnny's struggles to keep his emotions in check when caring for Jesse.
Sorry, it's so ridiculous. You know, I just said, you know, you can't have that toothbrush. And I went around the corner for a second to grab toothpaste and then he disappeared. So I'm running after him, trying to find him. And he jumps out, scares me. And yeah, I got angry and I yelled at him.
It's awful. I've done it.
I know that look in those little eyes. It's the worst. But it's okay also, you know? You just have to
explain to him that you were scared and that's why you yelled and then you apologize, you know? He's a person. You just be honest with him.
It's called doing a repair. There's scripts for it.
Okay. Sounds easy.
It's not easy.
No, I know it's not.
Let me talk to him. Now I'll yell at him.
All right, thank you for talking me down. Now, hold on.
Johnny seems almost frightened of his responsibilities in this case.
Mm-hmm. But so that scene to me is, it's interesting you played it because it is kind of the core of the territory of the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's very banal. It's just about an argument that happened in a pharmacy, kind of not banal, in that the kid ran away from him and hid from him and he really thought he lost him. But it seems like kind of nothing to be in a movie. But once they get talking about it, and like she says, like, he's a person, that's actually a huge idea to me. Like, he's not less than, he's not cute, he's not little, he's developmentally different, but not less than. And that to me is like one of the hopeful ideas of the film. And that's actually a big one. If you really incorporate it into that, your worldview is gonna change your life, I feel like, as an adult. And then just that parenting tip and that way that men often learn stuff through a woman in their life, especially around parenting. I don't know, I found that really interesting. I don't know if I should say that about my movie on radio, but yeah.
So the film, we've talked about a little bit, has these this realism in it, these real interviews that were done with the help of our colleague Molly Webster mm-hmm. and Kari mm-hmm. Across the country with children in the film. When did this approach come to you, and what did you want it to bring to the film?
I've done projects like that in the past, usually in more like of an art setting. So I've mm-hmm. done a thing like this for San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, asking kids whose parents work in tech companies in Silicon Valley about the future. I was trying to kind of invert who holds the power about the future in that piece. But I was really just like so captivated hearing these kids talk very seriously about what they thought. And it was both very dark and very buoyant and just really interesting, and I wasn't done. And this film, yes, I wanted this like super intimacy between like a parentish or a caregiver and a child. And lots of scenes are like just giving a bath and going to bed and like very contactful, very small. But then I want to kind of throw that intimacy up against a larger version of America and a larger version of like young people's perspective of what our society is like, what life is like, what the future will be like. So that was the kind of idea, to have this kind of like psychic landscape of young people's perspective of what's going on in our world, and have my kid and an adult figure kind of walk across that bigger spectrum.
Will you indulge us to play a bit of Molly's scenes?
Yes, please.
All right, Molly, people, you know, listeners know her from Radiolab here at WIC.
Do you want to hear the story of how Molly got in it?
Sure, real quick. Yeah. And then I want to make sure we get the clip in.
Okay, me and my kid listen to Radiolab all the time. And there's a scene in the film where we do the one about the trees and how they're all connected by fungus. I think it's the fungus mm-hmm. among us, right? And my kid and I know that by heart. So I gave that to Jesse in the scene, and he's talking about it. Anyways, Molly was my reference the whole time to my casting agent, Jen Vendetti. I was like, someone like Molly Webster, having no idea what she looked like, who she was, and just thinking, I don't know why. I never thought to actually go out to her. And then one day in the casting tapes, there's like, I see the name Molly Webster. I'm like, no way. You know? And then she's there, and she's like quite natural and like just has like a talent at it. And it's like just really quite good in scenes. And it's like really beautiful. And it's like, this is just too much. So I called Molly Webster immediately, and my life has been better ever since.
Let's hear Molly Webster, radio journalist and film actor from Come On, Come On.
So is he just like walk into a room and pretend to be an orphan?
There's different scenarios.
Okay.
You don't want to get into it, I promise you.
All right, I'll leave that between you.
Like figure out how to talk to him, and so I'll try to play along in an indirect way, and then I go, this is ridiculous. He wants to say something. I have to be open, and so I say, hey man, you want to talk about something. Yeah. And I look at him like this, like real earnest. And then he just is like dismissive and makes me feel stupid. And then I feel crushed. I know, it's funny now, but when it happens, it's crushing.
Yeah. He seems like he's doing good.
He is, but he should be holding the mic. If he wants to get down, he can hold the mic up.
He's got to find his own way. That's what we all do.
Talking about holding the mic up, what did you learn about audio journalism making this film, Mike?
Oh, so much. I really love, I mean, like, This American Life has been a big influence on all my films. And I met Ira Glass when I made Beginners because I wanted to, like, thank him for his influence on that movie. And then Ira kind of helped me point in the right direction for this one. And Starley Kine helped me. And then other radio people I don't know, like Studs Terkel, Scott Currier, are big influences on Joaquin's performance. I think, you know, one little tiny detail I learned that Molly brought to it. So in preparing for this, Molly and Joaquin went out and just did a bunch of interviews so that Joaquin could get used to all the recording devices and just the whole practice of doing it. Mm-hmm. They came back with this thing that's in the film over and over again, where they start an interview by saying, if there's any questions that you don't want to answer, they're just boring, you feel uncomfortable, we'll just skip it, let's move on, we'll talk about something you want to talk about. And it's such a nice gesture of like taking care of this other person and your responsibility as an interviewer to, especially a young person, age 9 to 14, that you're interviewing.
And your responsibility to them as a human being as well. That is really, really important. The name of the film is Come On, Come On. It is in theaters today. I've been speaking with its writer and director, Mike Mills. Mike, congratulations on the film, and thanks for giving us so much time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
And that is all of it.